Welcome, everyone, to T.S. Wright Speaks. And of course, I'm your host, T.S. Wright. I'm so glad you could join us today. So let's dive right into our topic today. And this is going to be the callings of Abraham and Moses. And I think calling matters in our lives because God calls us at different times into new seasons of life. And we need to understand callings. We need to understand that. And so looking at the callings of Abraham and Moses, these callings are reflective of the way that God calls us today. Now, it may not be quite as dramatic as an actual burning bush. However, it could be that God is calling you out of a season in which you've been kind of feel like you've been on hold for a while. So let's dive into this. So let's start with Abraham. Abraham was called to become the father of a covenant people, obviously the Israelites. Moses was called to deliver that covenant people from bondage. Abraham was called out of the nations and Moses was called back into Egypt. Abraham was called to walk by faith into a promise he could not see. Moses was called to confront a power he could not overcome by his own strength. Does that sound familiar to you? I mean, are there things in your life that you can't do on your own? There's no way. Or are there things that maybe God is calling you to do that you can't see a result? You can't even see a path. All you see is that here it is. And so God wants you to go and then he wants you to trust him as he provides for you along the way while you're trusting him. Yeah. So there are those seasons and there are those callings and we all have come, you know, we've all had to walk through those. Some of us maybe not yet, but if you haven't, God may do that in your life. So you need to be prepared for that. And learning Abraham and Moses' callings, I think, are a really important way that we can learn to reflect that back to ourselves. Again, it may not be as dramatic as, hey, I'm going to move 15, you know, I'm going to be representing 15 million people here, or I'm going to be standing up to a power that's enslaving a million people. No, I'm not saying it's going to be that dramatic. However, it's still important because God is calling you and we need to understand what that looks like and then how to respond. All right, so let's get into this a little bit more. So we see in both callings something very foundational. God does not call people merely for their own blessing. And that is something we all need to grasp. Remember, it's not always about your blessing. Basically, God calls people to become vessels through whom his purposes enter the earth. So for instance, the calling of Abraham begins in Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abram, Genesis 12:1, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Then God gives him the promise, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Notice the pattern. First, God calls Abraham out. Then God promises to make him into something. Then God declares that Abraham will become a blessing. That is a divine pattern. God calls us out of one realm so he can form us into another kind of person and then release blessing through us. Abraham's calling requires, and it required of him, separation. He had to leave country. He had to leave his country, his kindred, and his father's house. That means Abraham's call was not only geographical, it was relational, cultural, spiritual. It was the order of things and the way that he understood them. And so what God was doing is he was separating him from the old order so that he could establish through him a new covenant line. But he couldn't do it where he was at. He could not do it where he was at. He had to leave. So that he could establish this new covenant. God needed to make him move on that for that reason. Abraham did not receive a full map. He received a word. Hebrew 11 tells us, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should, after received for an inheritance, obeyed. So again, let me read that again. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after received from an inheritance, for an inheritance, obeyed. So basically, it was his obedience that was key here. All right. Abraham obeyed without knowing every detail. That is the essence of faith. Faith is not the absence of questions. Faith is obedience when God has spoken, even before the whole picture is visible. Now compare that with Moses. Moses' calling begins in Exodus 3 at the burning bush. Moses is not in a palace when God calls him. He's not standing before Pharaoh. He is on the backside of the desert tending the flock of Jethro. It's not even his own flock. It's Jethro's. So he is sitting here shepherding, and all of a sudden, here's this burning bush. All right. So Exodus 3:2 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Moses turns aside to see why the bush burns, but is not consumed. Then God speaks, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, here I am. The calling of Abraham begins with a command, get thee out. The calling of Moses begins with an encounter, Moses, Moses. Abraham hears the voice of God and leaves what is familiar. Moses encounters the holiness of God and is sent into what is dangerous. God says to Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. I am coming down to deliver them, and I am come down to deliver them. So Exodus 3:7-8. All right. Then the Lord says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people out of Egypt. It's Exodus 3:10. Here's the divine mystery. God says, I am come down to deliver them. And then he says, I will send thee. When God comes down, he often sends a man. When God intends to deliver, he raises up a vessel. The power is God's, but the obedience is required from the servant. Abraham's calling was tied to promise. Moses' calling was tied to deliverance. Abraham was called to receive covenant. Moses was called to administer covenant. Abraham was called to birth a people. Moses was called to bring that people out of slavery and towards worship. When God called Abraham, the problem was bondage. When God called Abraham, the problem was barrenness. Abraham had no children. He had no land and no nation. So God called him into promise. When God called Moses, the problem was bondage. Israel was already a people, but they were oppressed under Pharaoh. So God called Moses into confrontation. This tells us something very powerful. God's calling always corresponds to a divine purpose in the earth. Sometimes God calls a person to begin something. That was Abraham. Sometimes God calls a person to deliver something. That was Moses. Sometimes God calls a person to preserve something, restore something, confront something, or prepare something. The calling is never random. It is connected to God's covenant intention. It is all a part of his plan. Now let us look at their responses. Abraham's response was obedience. Genesis 12:4 says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. That is simple but profound. God spoke, Abraham departed. Obedience. Moses' response was more hesitant. When God said, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, Moses answered, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Then Moses asked what he should say if Israel asked the name of the God who sent him. God answered, I am that I am. That's Exodus 3:14. Moses continued raising objections. He said the people may not believe him. He said he was not eloquent. Finally, in Exodus 4:13, Moses essentially asked God to send someone else. So the real heart of the matter comes out. Finally, Moses speaks the real truth. He doesn't want to go. He's comfortable, right? He's safe. That's really what it is. He likes his safety. So Abraham's call shows us faith that moves. Moses' call shows us fear that must be overcome. But God did not discard Moses because he trembled. God answered Moses' fear with his own presence. God said, "Certainly I will be with thee." That is the foundation of every true calling. Not that we are strong enough, but that God will be with us and he is strong enough. Abraham had to trust God's promise. Moses had to trust God's presence. Abraham had to believe that God would give life where there was barrenness. Moses had to believe that God could bring freedom where there was bondage. Abraham had to leave his father's house behind. Moses had to return to the house of Pharaoh. Abraham was called away from idolatrous civilization. Moses was called to confront imperial oppression. And both men had to learn that the call of God cannot be fulfilled by human ability alone. That is the key right there. Remember, it is God who blesses, it is God who gives the power, and it's God who delivers. And as we go on in these stories, we see that. Eventually, Abraham would have a son, Isaac. All right, that would eventually happen. Here's the thing. Abraham first has a son, Ishmael, but he does it through his wife's maidservant, Hagar. All right, Abraham forces it. So when God calls us, we don't need to force it. We don't need to step inside and out to try to make it happen. If God says it's going to happen, we need to trust his path that he provides as well. And we need to wait on him to fulfill the calling. Here's the thing. That's a very sobering lesson. Remember this. Moses, if we dial it back into Exodus 2, he actually kills an Egyptian because he's trying to protect his people. All right. He realizes, he knows that he's an Israelite. He sees the oppression and he kills this Egyptian. All right. The thing is that never works out. Again, you can't force it. Now, Abraham eventually did receive Isaac, as we know. He had to wait on him. And then Moses eventually had to spend 40 years in the wilderness before returning to Egypt. See, the delay does not cancel the calling, but the delay prepares you for the calling. All right. There's that time period of growth. And the thing is the Bible doesn't always show us the little things that grow, but we have to trust that is really what happened. In some instances, we do see some of it, even when we read in the Bible. Like, for instance, I think Peter is a really great example. We see his growth through the ministry of Jesus and his reactions to it, and then see what he becomes in the book of Acts. And then, of course, in 1 and 2 Peter. But here's the thing. We can't just jump into our calling when God calls us. We have to be willing to walk the steps that are necessary to get to the calling. So here's the thing. Delay does not cancel calling, and delay prepares us. God gave Abraham time to grow in his faith, and he had to give Moses time to be emptied out from Egypt so that he would learn to trust God and not his Egyptian ways. Abraham had to learn that the promise would come through supernatural birth. Moses had to learn that deliverance would come through supernatural power. So let's consider the covenant significance. With Abraham, God established the covenant of promise. Genesis 15 says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Genesis 17 gives the sign of circumcision. Through Abraham's seed, God promised that all nations of the earth would be blessed. That promise ultimately points to Christ. Galatians 3:16 says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, and to thy seed, which is Christ." So Abraham's calling is not just about Israel's beginning. It's about the messianic line that leads to Jesus. With Moses, God established Israel as a delivered nation under covenant law. Through Moses came the Passover, the Exodus, and the Red Sea crossing. Sinai, the tabernacle pattern, the priesthood, and the sacrificial system. All of these also point to Christ. Abraham points us to the promise of Christ. Moses points us to the redemption accomplished by Christ. Abraham shows us justification by faith, Moses shows us deliverance by blood and power. Abraham believed God and righteousness was counted towards him. Israel applied the blood of the lamb and judgment passed over them during the time of Moses. In Abraham, we see the promise of the seed. In Moses, we see the shadow of the lamb. Jesus says in John 5:46, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." And Jesus also says in John 8:56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." So we cannot properly understand Abraham or Moses apart from Jesus Christ. We can't. Abraham's altar and Moses' tabernacle both testify to Jesus Christ. Abraham's promised seed and Moses' Passover lamb both find fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Abraham's faith and Moses' obedience both point us towards the greater Son, the greater deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is also a prophetic contrast here when we look at these two callings, but I want to first reiterate that Jesus is always, in every aspect, the central theme of every piece of all of the Bible. Everything written in the Old Testament, everything in the Gospels and the New Testament, the central theme is still Jesus Christ. The church, the central theme should always be Jesus Christ. When the church gets itself in trouble and has in the past, it's always because it departs from making Christ the central focus and it makes something else the central focus. And isn't that the same in our own lives? What happens is we become something that we're not supposed to become. Or we put something on the throne that we're not supposed to. Just like when Moses puts himself in a position to be the authority over that Egyptian without the power of God, without God telling him what to do, that's where he gets in trouble. You see, that's the key to our lives, is that God has to be in total control. And he not only brings us into the calling, but he also directs every step of the way. And we have to be willing to wait on that and be obedient to that. The obedience isn't just to the big picture calling. The obedience is to Christ himself. It is. And to his details, to his steps, and learning to walk in an obedient relationship with him. An obedient relationship. So here's a prophetic contrast I want to get into. Abraham's call began privately. God spoke to one man and told him to go. Moses' call became public. God sent one man before Pharaoh, before Israel, and before Egypt. Some callings begin in hidden obedience. Some callings eventually require public confrontation. Abraham had to build altars in the land. Moses had to stretch forth the rod in Egypt. Abraham had to intercede for Sodom. Moses had to intercede for Israel. Abraham was tested with Isaac on Mount Moriah. Moses was tested repeatedly by the complaints and unbelief of the people in the wilderness. Neither calling was easy. We often romanticize the calling, but the biblical pattern shows that calling includes testing. Testing. Let's think about that for a minute, right? Abraham waited for years for his promised son. Moses endured rejection from Pharaoh and murmuring from the people. Abraham had family conflict. Moses had national conflict. Abraham had to trust God with the son he loved. Moses had to trust God with a people who often resisted him. Does that sound familiar? Calling is not merely an invitation to significance. It is an invitation to surrender. Let me ask you a question. And I always see, and you see this reflected in the Gospels. The very people that Jesus is wanting to save, and by the way, still trying to save, do they resist him? Yeah, they do. And they did back then as well. That's why they put him to death. Did Jesus have family issues? Did he, and not just family in the family in his household, which, yeah, there were issues there. It shows up. We see some of those confrontations. We see a few of those written in the Gospels, but also his family of disciples. Were there ever issues with them? Yeah. So you got to think about this. You see this theme play out in Christ as well. Now, obviously, he knew how to handle it better than these guys did, because where did he always go? He always went to the Father. It was always about the Father's will, and he never departed from that. That's why he lived the sinless life. He never departed from the Father's will in anything. Okay, so that's something we have to remember. We need to stay in the Father's will. So calling is not merely an invitation to significance. It's an invitation to surrender. We have to be willing to surrender in obedience. God told Moses to leave. God told Abraham to leave. God told Moses to go. Those are different directions, but the same principle. Again, it just comes down to surrendered obedience. Abraham left what he knew. Moses had to go back from what he fled from. Does that speak to us today? That may be speaking to you. One of these may be speaking to you. Both of them may be speaking to you. Sometimes the call of God pulls us out of familiar surroundings. Sometimes it sends us back to confront something that once intimidated us. Sometimes God calls us away from comfort. Sometimes he sends us directly into conflict. The issue is not whether the assignment is easy. The issue is whether God has spoken. If God has spoken, we must answer with faith and obedience. Our faith, our obedience is a sign of our faith. It truly is. It's a sign of our faith. Just like the Bible says, from the heart, out of the heart, the mouth will speak. From the heart, everything flows out. That's what we have to know. And so our faith, that's our heart. Obedience, our spoken word, that's the overflow of it coming out. And for that to happen, we got to trust God. We got to put ourselves in that position to trust him, put him on the throne, and walk with him. So the question is, are you willing to do that? Are we willing to get to the calling, to allow the calling to shape us? Are we allowed to, when God calls us, to wait on each step? Or do we want to get right to the blessing? How often is it that we want to get right to the blessing? We want to bypass the other pieces. But the problem is when we try to do that, then we're not really performing God's will, are we? There's things that are going to get missed. There's things that aren't going to happen. There's pieces you're going to miss that you need to have, that you need to be developed in yourself. And then there's maybe people that are going to be missed that God doesn't want to miss. Remember this. We got to be patient. And patience is part of obedience. It's part of surrender. It is. It's one of those fruits. Remember, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. For against those things there is no law. That's in Galatians chapter 5. Guess what? That patience thing, that's a part of this. So Abraham was a little impatient, and he got himself in some trouble, didn't he? That's right. The promise still came, and he still was faithful to it. But there was a step in there where he decided to take over. We see that. That's why Ishmael came along when he sleeps with the maidservant Hagar. Now, here's the thing. Abraham's obedience opened a covenant line, and Moses' obedience opened a path through the sea. What is on the other side of your obedience? There may be people connected to your yes. There may be deliverance connected to your yes. There may be generations connected to your yes. There may be a testimony connected to your yes that you cannot even see right now. The situation may look like, okay, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to leave things behind. I'm not going to be able to do what I have in my mind. But God may be calling you to something, and then you got to be willing to walk it, because what happens is God may already have a plan for some of the people you're going to leave behind. He may need to get you out of the way so those people get administered to the way he wants. And then there's other people out here that need your voice or need your minister, whatever it is you're doing. We have to remember that. So we have to be open to God's calling no matter what that calls us to do. Look, here's a couple of things I want you to remember. Number one, God's calling will always be in line with his word. That's how you'll know it's from God. It'll be in line with his word. Number two, it will require growth on your part. And number three, there'll be the obedience part of this will be a couple of things. Number one is that there will be some aloneness in it. because you're going to, it's just going to be you and God. And then other people are going to be involved in it at some point as well. You're going to end up with both. It's going to impact other people. Your calling is never in a vacuum. It's never about you. That's not how God operates. Well, let's kind of wrap this up here. The call of God is not ever sustained by you personally or your personality. It is always sustained by the presence of God. It is not fulfilled by your charisma and your abilities. It is fulfilled by a covenant faithfulness in which God interacts with the person to make it happen. It is not dependent upon the greatness of the person. It depends on the greatness of the God who sends the person. Abraham believed God, Moses obeyed God, and through both men, God advanced his redemptive plan, eventually leading us to Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. If you've enjoyed today, hey, check us out on tswrightspeaks.com. Check out our book, Embracing the Truth. We also have another book that'll be coming out July 10th. And then the second part to our God-Centered Concept Discipleship Series. Check us out. Check that out. Well, that book will be coming out at the end of July. The God-Centered Concept Academy is on tuvu.com. Check us out there. And now we finish like we always do. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Have you ever wondered what Jesus really wants you to do? Do you want to understand the calling that he has on your life? Come join us on the God-Centered Concept Academy on tuvu.com and join our community, and you will learn everything you need to learn about getting to your calling and what the model of the gospel is really all about. Being able to share your faith, understanding how to help build the kingdom of God as we are meant to do and as Jesus called us to do.